Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
A man was driving his car when he saw a woman that was stranded at the side of the road. He saw that she needed help, so he stopped his Pontiac near her Mercedes and got out. He smiled while approaching her, but still sensed that she felt a little worried. So he tried to calm her and said, "I'm here to help you. Don't worry. My name is Brian Anderson." The tire was flat, so he crawled under the car. And while changing the car tire, he got dirty and his hands were hurt. And when the job was done, she asked how much she owed him for his help. Brian smiled, and he said, "If you really want to pay me back, the next time you see someone who needs help, give that person the needed assistance and think of me." That same evening, the woman stopped at a small cafe. The place was small and dingy, and she saw a waitress nearly 8 months pregnant. The waitress had a sweet, friendly smile, and the lady wondered how someone with so little could be so kind and giving to a stranger. And then she remembered Brian. The lady finished her meal and she paid with a $100 bill. The waitress went to make change, and when she came back, the lady was gone. She left a note on the napkin saying, "You don't owe me anything. Somebody once helped me, just like I am helping you. And if you really want to pay me back, do not let this chain of love end with you." The waitress found four more $100 bills under the napkin. And that night, when she went home, she thought about the money that the lady had left and how much she and her husband needed it, especially with a baby on the way. So she ran home excited to tell her husband the good news. And then she kissed him and whispered, "Now everything will be all right. I love you, Brian Anderson." This morning, we continue our sermon series exploring the vows of our membership that we make to live out our faith on a daily basis. Last week, we explored the importance of generosity. And this morning, we go one step further with our generosity as we look at the importance of service and discipleship with and to others in our faith journey. It's amazing to think that each moment in our lives, each decision we make, the actions we take and how they can make an effect on others. This chain of generosity and service to others can trickle down to the least expected person. Jesus's ministry on earth was full of these moments of service to others. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He visited the poor, healed the sick, and nurtured the outcast of society. This vow of service is deeply rooted in Jesus' ministry during his time on earth. Jesus knew as he walked on earth, he was preparing the disciples to continue the message. He was guiding them to walk on earth without him. But instilling this message of love and importance of service in the ways that he ministered, and he called them to minister to others. So Jesus calls Peter and James and John to climb up to a high mountain with him. Jesus takes them on a journey to the top of a mountain for an experience literally of a lifetime. They were part of the few and the select. They were able to experience this moment with Jesus. Specifically chosen not because they were perfect, but invited by Jesus to be part of this moment as they were his beloved disciples. But this moment that Jesus is fully revealed to them and they are terrified. In Mark, they states that Peter was so terrified that he doesn't know what to say. Matthew reports that Jesus touched the disciples because they were so overcome with fear. And Luke records that the disciples were so terrified after they entered a cloud with Jesus and Moses and Elijah. All three Gospels record this experience, but each of them shares the account that Jesus tells them not to share it with others. Jesus did not want them to share this experience with others, but he invited the disciples that shared in this special moment not to share with others. But he invited them to go and take up their cross with him, to follow him, to walk away with this message, to share love and service and grace to all of God's people. So the disciples were sent down the mountain to get to work, and so are we. There are these times in our lives where we have these mountaintop moments of faith, when we're overwhelmed by an experience, whether it be at a retreat or a Bible study, an event, a service project, or camp. We come down from the mountain and we often forget to go to work, to pick up the cross and to share the message with others. But this experience that the disciples had on the mountain is only part of the story. If they had walked down the mountain and forgotten to do the work, then this moment would have ended. So when we experience God's glory, when we experience the glory of Christ on the mountain, we have to come down and do the work. Come down to begin to explore the ways that the identity of Jesus can be revealed in each and every day of our lives and in our service to others. So as we look at ourselves and the vows that we make in our membership, the vows that we make in our relationship with Christ, we are invited to receive the faith, receive the love of God, and transform the lives, transform our lives, while being loyal and faithful servants in the world. So how do we get started? I'm a list maker. My desk is often covered with post-it notes. I have lists of things to do on my desk, on my calendar, sometimes on my phone, on a notepad. I make lists to remind me of the things that need to be done and the things that I have yet to complete. It's often a way to keep me organized on how to accomplish my goals. So if we were to make a list of how to live out the transfiguration in our lives, how we can live out this call from the mountain to serve others and be disciples of Christ in our lives, what would be on the list? We're called to open our eyes to see where there is hurt and pain and need in the world and reach out a hand of kindness to help others. But also to include God in this conversation of where we are called most to serve. Generosity of our time and our hearts for service is not simply about doing whatever task is needed, but reaching out to God to see the things that will help others and fill our hearts. Finding our passion for service and passion for the things that bring our hearts joy is part of it. If we simply look to do anything out of sheer guilt, it will end quickly. It will not fill our spirits with joy. We're called to service and discipleship to others, but we're called to serve with joy, not dread. Make a list. What are the things that bring you joy? What are the things that make your heart sing? Who are the people you're feeling called to serve? Make a list of the organizations that you know serve these particular groups. Check out their website or give them a call and see where your passions might be lived out within various organizations. Here within the walls of the church, we've made it easy. We have a list of discipleship opportunities, a list of what you can do to embed service in your daily faith walk. It's not service to the church, but it is service through the church to serve God's kingdom and all of God's children in these walls and beyond. So look at the list. There may be an opportunity in a ministry area you don't know very much about, and you want to learn more. There may be an opportunity to play with the possibilities, explore new opportunities, and engage new people. Making a list of possible opportunities gives each of us the opportunities to find our passions and explore new opportunities to share God's message, to share our experience on the mountain with others. President Jimmy Carter has famously had a passion for providing affordable housing. He's famous for his work with Habitat for Humanity. And earlier this month, after a fall in his home, he went back to the construction site with a bandage on his head and went back to work with a hammer in his hand. If we are passionate about the work we are doing, passionate about our service to others, our call from Christ to nurture and disciple and serve, then nothing can get in our way. Our passion provides the drive within us to continue the work that Jesus extends to his disciples on the mountain, and he continues to extend to us today. Our work is never done. Our faith journey is always evolving, and even our passions may change as our lives change. So it's never too late to find a new way to serve. We are never too young or never too old to find a way to serve, and we are never done growing in our faith. Our spiritual transfiguration is never complete, so there's always an opportunity to try something new or find new ways to serve in ministries within these walls of the church and beyond. We are God's beloved children. We are called to be in continuous conversation with God, motivated by Christ and illuminated by the Holy Spirit to go out into the world, to climb down the mountain and continue the story, continue this movement in the world of service of God's kingdom. So we're called to be active disciples, active leaders, active participants in this message, in this service to others. We're carrying the message of the gospel in all that we do, so others might know. Others might learn of this beloved Christ and this loving God. And if we're not active in the world, someone might miss the message. And we might miss the opportunity to show the love and grace of Christ in this church and in this community and our world. So make a list. How are you called to serve the church? How are you called to serve this community? How are you called to serve the world in the coming days and months and years? Make a list of your passions. Make the list of the way that your passions can be lived out if your call as a servant of Christ and as a disciple of the one who calls you to the mountain to hear the word of the prophets who give us the message and extend the call. What is on our list that we can share the message? Who is on your list that needs to hear the love of Christ? And in what ways can we see it realized in our work together as disciples of Christ? A great guide to finding a way to minister to our neighbors is in Jesus' story of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. Jesus tells the helpers that they served him by serving the greatest need. I was hungry. I was hungry and you gave me food, Jesus said. So provide a meal. Help with Forgotten Louisville. Provide a meal for those that are recovering from surgery, mourning the loss of a loved one, welcoming a baby into their lives, or otherwise in need of a hot meal. Give food to a local food bank or EACM. There are hungry people everywhere in places that you least expect it. Food banks are wonderful at providing meals, and our backpack ministry here within the walls of the church feeds children on the weekends. I was thirsty. I was thirsty, Jesus tells the servants, and you gave me a drink. Donate water. Water is in critical supply in times of disaster. We need clean and safe water to survive. Help with organizations like WaterStep. It's as easy as donating a pair of your shoes. Give to well ministries. Donate to ministries that provide wells like UMCOR's WASH program. I was a stranger. Jesus continues, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Embrace love. In our daily living, we can see others as a bother. The difficult people at work, the teacher that doesn't understand, the other drivers clogging the roadway on our ways to work. We can make a huge difference in the lives of many by deciding to lead with love. Spend time with children and youth. Volunteer to read at our CDC or our preschool. Involve yourself in tutoring at a local elementary school or with Lighthouse. Intentionally listen to your children or your grandchildren and their friends. Go to a local football or basketball game. Help with children or youth Sunday school or youth group. There is a lock-in coming up if anybody wants to stay up till 8 a.m. Care for the elderly. Ask about becoming a visitor to those in the church that are no longer able to get out. Drive a neighbor to a doctor's appointment or the grocery store. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear, Jesus praises. Give money to organizations like UMCOR that meet needs in times of tragedy. Donate clothing. Around this time of year, we often see coat drives and shoe drives and clothing drives, and we're even collecting clothing this month for our veterans. Join a building project. Protect others from the elements by joining a habitat team or a mission team or another organization providing housing. I was sick. I was sick, Jesus tells the servants, and you took care of me. Give blood. Appreciate first responders who show love and appreciation as they run into harm's way to care and love one another. Care for your neighbors. There are many kinds of illness and suffering, and it all is helped with people around us. Share our lives with our neighbors, getting to know their joys and their sorrows. Find out ways that you can pray and serve together. I was in prison. Finally, Jesus says, I was in prison and you visited me. So learn about prison ministries and ways that you can support those in prisons and reentry. Support addiction and abuse ministries. Supporting the recovering ministries like Celebrate Recovery. Help to serve those who seek a place in times of uncertainty, in times of transition. So what is on your list? Who is on your list? And what would you do next to share the mountaintop love of Christ with those you meet through service and discipleship and love to all of God's children? So let's make a list and let's get to work.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.